Well, if you're here, take your Bible, first of all, and open up with me Philippians chapter 4 tonight as we make this study. And here's the, we're still studying on questionable things. God helping us to deal with questionable things. And if you turn to Philippians chapter 4, we'll read a few verses there and then go from there. We talked about so far these questionable things, or how to handle these questionable things. We said, first of all, there's 11 different things that certainly can be applied to anything that becomes questionable. And if you answer these 11 things, there may be more, certainly. If you answer these 11 questions, though, and go through accurately, I believe there's not nothing that God's Holy Spirit wants to reveal to us that we can't really understand, or at least be persuaded in our own mind. We said, first of all, number one, are you willing to do whatever's right when you know God's will? Or do you still sometimes, just like I say, some people say, well, this just fits me and suits me so well, I can't let it go. We ought to be willing to let anything go if we find out for sure it's God's will. And that's the first thing on the number one on the gender. Then notice number two, we talked about last week and finished up. Does your answer that you have agree with that what the Bible has to say about that subject? That is there an agreement? The best commentary we have of the Bible is the Scripture comparing Scripture with Scripture. And so as you compare Scripture with Scripture on that particular subject and studying that, when you actually do that, does it say everything about that subject to back it up? If there's an error where, again, as we leave that particular one, go to the next one. If there's a verse of Scripture, one verse of Scripture or two verses of Scripture seem to contradict many verses of Scripture, then you must go with those who complement themselves, the verses that complement each other. And then ask God to help you work on these as you grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. I've found this out. There's some things that in my early Christian life that I could not learn because I wasn't ready to learn it. Because if I had learned it, then tell me what it might have done to me. We're creatures of gradualism. We learn by studying day by day by day by day, precept upon precept, the Word of God. That's how we study. We grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. Just like in spiritually, just like we do academically, as far as physical flesh is concerned. And I learned that many years ago. You know, as I said the other week, you don't take a child that's in kindergarten trying to teach them algebra. You don't take a child in kindergarten trying to teach them 10th grade science. You take it as they come and teach them as they grow to grow up to the point so they can accumulate that knowledge. Well, the child of God's the same way. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. But even I may be, 100 years old. If I get saved, I'm a babe in Christ. And I have the Holy Spirit there, so I need the Holy Spirit to help me. And the Holy Spirit who inspired to write this book will bring us to the knowledge of what's needed as we use the knowledge that God gives us. And I'm thankful for that. So does your answer that you have agree with all the Bible has to say of that particular subject? If there's a verse that seems not to, then just keep in mind. Let God sear your mind that Scriptures do not contradict themselves. They're inspired by God. Now, look with me at the fourth one, or the third one, and this probably ought to be the first one, but it's not put in that sequence. It is, have you prayed about that particular thing you're studying? Look with me in Philippians, if you will, and he talks us that we are to pray, how we're to pray about things. Look in verse 6, 5, 6, and 7 in Philippians chapter 4. Paul said, let your moderation be known unto all men. Your moderation is... There is an attitude of gentleness and humility among God's people that should be seen when it comes to studying anything or discussing anything. So let your moderation be known unto all men. Let your gentleness or your humility, your humbleness be seen to all men. But then watch the next phrase. There's five words. The Lord is at hand. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me stop there just a minute because what the Apostle Paul is saying. And we're only talking about 30 years since Jesus rose from the dead. And he's saying, the Lord's at hand. You mean that? You know what he's saying? He says, the Lord is just before coming back. Well, that was 2,000 years ago. And so the world looks at the day just like we see Peter said. They mock us. I mean, Paul looked in from his day and didn't come back. You over here 2,000 years later looking for him. That's right. You know why? He's closer now than he was in Paul's day. And I just believe that. We go day by day. So, again, he talks about this. He said, the Lord is at hand. And go with me, if you will, to James chapter 5. Let's look at that. Go to James and kind of approach this another way. He's telling us to be, let your moderation be known on him and be gentle and I think patient and waiting, because what God says is true. We believe what he says is true, but he don't have to act right now. You know why? You say, but wait a minute, he talked about present tense and he's at hand 2,000 years ago. My hand, you know, is today, not 3 years from now. But wait a minute, you got to understand God is not, he's omnipresent. There's no such a thing as God at time. God's always in the now. So when he even talks about something at hand, I don't care if it's 100,000 years from now, it's still with God in the now. He's not divided up in time like we are. He's from everlasting to everlasting. He's omnipresent. He's all those qualities that God has that we do not have. But notice what James said in James chapter 5, and we go down as he tried to exhort the view of the coming of Jesus. Watch, he said in verse 7, "Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husband waited for the precious fruit of the earth, hath long patience for it until he received the early and latter rains." He said, while people plant their crop, he said, they wait patient for it to come up. They don't plant it, they expect it to come up tomorrow. And he says they know when to wait for the rain that comes in, as he talked about the early rain and the latter rain. So be ye patient, he says. And James was a pastor of parishioners there in Jerusalem. Be ye patient and establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. What? In other words, settle yourself down, keep studying, keep looking, keep growing in grace and knowledge. And he said this about the same thing in a different way than what we see Paul saying here. He said that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Well, 2,000 years had gone, and this is about the same time. This is about 4 years before Paul wrote to the church at Philippi. And they're talking about the Lord's at hand. It's time for the Lord to come back. The Lord draweth nigh. He said, no, establish yourself in faith. You keep growing in faith and knowledge so you have your feet settled and the stake drove up where you're at. You know the things you know that God has given you, and just keep doing what you're doing and not get somewhere or another and hide and just wait for the Lord. Because if we just say, like some people say, let's just get somewhere and build a colony and wait for the Lord, we might be waiting there and he's still not come back. We're to be occupied so that he can use us while we wait for him. And understanding the faith, establishing the faith, if he doesn't come back today, that means he's got something to do tomorrow if he don't come back tomorrow. That means we have another day to serve God. That means that one of these days when he does come back, then what we do in time is out from there out, especially until when we get beyond the millennium reign and get into eternity, that where he has prepared for us all who trust Christ as Savior. So again, let's go back to Philippians, if you will, and notice he said, be careful for nothing, verse 6. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Now watch that. We're talking about this thing of prayer. Have you prayed about it? In other words, that you find yourself in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known. Isn't it amazing? God is teaching us we are to be thankful. We're to play. Supplication is beyond that just ordinary prayer. It could be a type of agony. It could be a burden. It could be something that would put us in a situation where our heart is broken, but we pray earnestly about something. And many times it may be that you want to know something that God is wanting us to see. We might have to pray with this type of supplication to understand that. And then he says, and let your requests be known unto God. As you pray about everything, and yet the things that you see don't get an answer, let your requests be known about that, and give thanksgiving what God is doing. And then he said, in the peace of God. Now, I love this verse, because you'd have to agree there's some things and many things you probably prayed for, and never got answered just like you prayed for. And many people messed up about prayer. We're going to see that tonight a little bit, where God teaches that he'll give you desire what you pray for. And when you read that verse, man, if that's the only thing he said, but he would be about me prove a liar, most people, because you know you don't get everything you pray for. If you did, you'd be praying for more than what you're praying for. You'd be praying for things you really don't need. We would be praying for things we really didn't need. I mean, just thanking God. I'm glad God lets us know there are some things that he is so concerned about us. If it would be used in our life for his glory, it'll be a blessing to us and be a blessing to him. And he answers our prayer. But notice he said, if I pray with supplication and began to come to him in prayer with about everything, the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It says simply, if I do like I should in this prayer, prayer does something for me in the sense not to give my whims all the time. He said, I'll give you a peace that passes understanding. You'll be facing with something that you have no control of whatsoever. There's nothing you can do about it. It seems like you feel helpless. And God said, if you come to me in the attitude you should and pray, believing what I can do, if I see something you don't see, I'm going to give you peace that passes, what did he say, part understanding? All understanding. Now that is a key for the child of God who may be somewhere or another and pray and not get something because you're in agony that we ask for. Let's face it, when we're hurting, we'd like to quit hurting, wouldn't we? So here he said, listen, I hear you when you pray. I hear you when you find the biblical principles of prayer. And when you come to me and ask, you come asking, you come seeking, you come knocking. And when you come with that attitude, be sure there's some things that ought to be in your life. And he said, what happens if I can't give you exactly what you're asking now because I see something you don't see? And by the way, God sees something we don't see. There have been times I know that if he'd answered some of my prayers, and I bet you'd say the same thing. If he'd answer your prayers like you asked, you probably wouldn't be in church today. And so God sees things different. And sometimes he holds back because we make promises we can't keep. And he understands that. He loves us as a father. And he's no longer just our God. He's our heavenly Father. And he tells us simply here the fact that the peace of God, he says, which passes all understanding, shall give your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's why sometimes you see a Christian going through something, you say, I don't see how in the world he can go through that. It just seems like it seems like nothing bothers them. Oh, there. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, there's nothing in this world that happens to us physically as children of God don't bother us. No, nobody knows it's super Christian. Yeah, nobody is super Christian. Oh, I got such a pain. Praise be to God for this pain. God, no, I'm all for it. God tells me to praise him for pain. But he does tell me to praise him for all things. And when I come to that, I'm not naive enough to believe that I'm trying to be so super religious that I'm trying to do something to make somebody think I'm super religious. No, I'm down to earth. And I believe in prayer, and I believe God answers prayer, but I believe God tells me when I don't seem to get an answer, and I've had a few of those. I've been in a hospital laid up in a coma. I've been in a situation where they almost died at the door of death. I've been there, and I couldn't understand when I came to why I was there. I'm crying one night when the doctor came through. A grown man weeping before God in my room by myself, asking God why. I couldn't understand that. Did it make any difference? Well, he didn't let me hop out of the bed and come home. But I'll tell you this, he gave me 20-something years more. And I've been doing more in the last 20 few years, I think, probably as far as adding to what God has done. And I'm not going, I'm just saying to you, God knows what he's doing when we pray. And by the way, folks, listen, he hears our prayer. Don't let Satan get you to think he doesn't hear your prayers. He hears every one of our prayers. And we ought to believe in him enough to know. I'm glad God helped me understand years ago. I believe when we come down here and pray, God's going to do exactly what we asked. I believe that with all my heart. When we pray for these, Brother Bill and Sister Carol Bunny, we prayed for them, and he gave them extra day, but he went ahead and took them home. Anyhow, did God answer our prayers? He sure did. He did what? At least he gave a peace that passes understanding until God took them home. And I bet you even now, after time goes by, I mean, my mother and dad was taken just... mother was a little over a year ago, my dad about 5 years ago, and there's a lot of things I couldn't understand, but now it seems like I understand better than I could at the time I was in the crisis. You see, God is not moved by crisis. He's the same yesterday and today forever. So he said, you come with supplication, you come believing, you come asking, you come seeking, you come knocking, but I want you to know, if I can't answer it just like maybe you ask it, because I understand you're in pain. I understand your heart. I've been there. My son knows what it is to have a broken heart. He knows that you've got a broken heart. He knows that you need some help. And I want you to know we care. And if we don't come at that moment and do exactly what you ask, we're going to give you a peace that passes all understanding. That's something the world can't have. This world cries peace, peace, peace. And there is no peace. And so as we come to that point, now watch. He teaches how that we ought to pray about things. Now, I want you to go with Mark, because here's what throws us a little bit. I'm talking about when you pray about a subject you're studying. Go over to Gospel of Mark with me, and let's listen to what the Lord Jesus said, and then we'll pick up a little bit more from there. In Mark, if you go down Mark chapter 11, look at verse 24 and 25 and 26. Well, we might just go. Yeah, we'll go down. Jesus talking in verse 24. Now, watch this verse. If I only had this verse, it seemed like God opened the barn door and I'd ask for anything that God have right there. If I didn't, God lied. But watch it, it says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire. Now let me ask you something. What is a desire? Just about anything you want, my brother, you're right. That's the way I'd look at it. Now, is God's son saying, hey, whatever you desire, ask for it and I'll give it to you? Yeah, that's what he said in this verse. But he qualifies it down. Watch. Naturally, and I'm very concerned about taking a verse by itself if I can't find other verses that will comprehend it. Because watch, he said, wherefore I say unto you, whatsoever thing ye desire. Whatsoever thing. That opens a barn door, doesn't it? He said, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Wow. Hey, folks. Let's get around this altar and just start praying to God the things we want. Isn't that what the Lord said? That's what the world says. That's what some people who try to build their own kingdom says. But listen, God wouldn't say something and leave it there if he meant something else. In other words, what God says he means, but he qualifies it to let us know when we ask, there's a Holy Spirit living in us that changes things rather than just living this world without the Holy Spirit. Watch what he says in the next verse. Now, watch. He says, let me read it through together. Therefore, I pray unto you, whatsoever things ye desire, when you pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when you stand praying, whoa, wait a minute. He didn't say that before. I read it now, though. When you do what he says in verse 24, and when you stand, watch, and when you, and he's talking no doubt here, to the child of God, in our case, because they'd be the ones who were praying like this anyhow. And when you stand praying, what's the next word? Forgive. What is it? I mean, you mean, Lord, if I'm going to pray for this thing, there's something that comes before that, before I qualified to get that? That's what he says. When you stand to pray, in this case, forgive. Why? If you have aught against any that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you for your trespassing. So if we read all together, when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any that your Father also which in heaven may forgive you for your trespassing. He said if you're praying for this particular thing and want it, be sure before you start, you analyze, you don't have anything against anyone. You don't have any odds with anyone. Because you're coming to ask him this now, you're coming as if there's nothing really wrong at all. And he said, if you know there's something there, you better get that straightened out first. Watch. It's speaking. But if you do not forgive, isn't it amazing? Christ gave one verse here about a desire and gave two verses to qualify. If you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. And that's more important than asking and getting something. Amen. Isn't the Lord wonderful? He's wonderful, ladies and gentlemen. I think we look at that one verse. Boy, isn't that wonderful? You'd be surprised that the evangelical preachers on television a lot use that verse there to raise money. Raise money. Now, what I see here is amazing. What things you desire, but there is a qualification of this at this particular time. Now, look at me, if you will, in James chapter 4 again. And let's see what James says. And he kind of adds to this. This is reading the scripture is good to compare scripture with scripture. Because in James chapter 4, watch, he says in verse 2, you lust, we understand what that is. There are three gates that Satan has to us, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. 1 John tells us that. That's how sin comes through. Every one of those gates, sin enters into us in this body through those three gates, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Now he says here, ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have. And cannot obtain, ye fight and war, yet ye have not because you asked amiss. Now, notice, you asked and received not. Now, notice, because you asked amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Now, notice again, Jesus first said here, you know, ask and it'll be given to you. Desire your heart. But now God uses James to qualify a little bit more how that lust in one's life can make them not pray for the right thing. By the way, you can lust after things other than women or men. The fact is a big field there. And he's laying this out. And he said, you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your lust. Now watch. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of this world is enmity with God? Now this qualifies the way of life. He's speaking of those who has this way of life. And by the way, this is not the only two things he's talking about. He's talking about this. You go find the other place and he'll name other things. But he says this. He says, you know ye that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore shall be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain? The spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy. In other words, the spirit itself don't speak in vain. God uses us, and he cares about us by giving us his Holy Spirit. So his Holy Spirit has something to do with this prayer time. And he said unto us here, do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? I mean, the Holy Spirit itself will not lead us to lust towards things that would be outside the will of God. So the Holy Spirit's a factor. You don't see the Holy Spirit here in Mark and Jesus talking, but he's not arrived yet. But he certainly has arrived to help us understand some things that we could not understand completely, even when Mark said. And by the way, this is the reason why these disciples many times didn't understand when Jesus was telling them right there with them. They didn't have the Spirit of God. They could only understand it when he was talking to them. But after the Holy Spirit came, they began to see things then as they grew in grace and knowledge of the Lord, what the Lord was talking about. And the things came back to them, what he said, and then they began to understand it by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I want you to look with me, if you will, I'll get there in just a minute. So what does this, chapter 4, James is a very sad verse. It doesn't say what we do not have, but it says if we have not because we ask not. Now, if we have not because we ask not, and Jesus said, if you desire, and when you go and ask and seek, of course, another place I seek, that we'd have these things, then there must be some things because both of those qualify their statement. He said, you have not because you ask not, in a verse 2. Why did they? They lust and have not. They kill and desire. And then he said, you have not because you ask. Understanding that there were some of these things that was in the life and you didn't do it, but then he said, he ended up saying, if you have not because you ask not, you ask and receive. And the thing that amazing, he said, you ask. Then he turns around and says, the reason you don't get it when you ask for it is because you asked in amiss. And now there's something in that is so selfish that God sees that if he gave it to you, will not enhance you or the kingdom of God. Or he gave it to me, he wouldn't enhance me or the kingdom of God. And so he lets us go through tests in life. And boy, you don't like those tests, but I'm going to tell you now after all these years, look back and see how you go through a test and see what God does after the test. It's phenomenal. It is phenomenal. It's just, you can't explain it. As a matter of fact, when you do begin, you know, people don't mind when you're down and hurting, can't seem to survive hardly, and yet God is letting you live. And then later when he blesses you, some of those people don't like that because now he's blessed more. Some people, when you're trying to serve God, seem to be just have all the blessings. They live the best in the world, and then suddenly God blesses you a few years later and seem like they may be having it harder, and the only thing God is doing is what he said he'd do. He's rewarding because what you ask for, you let what he says in Philippians do. He gave you peace that passes understanding, and later he fulfills some things you asked for in life where the blessings came. And it's just, you have to experience to understand what we're talking about. And then he says, the fact you ask, you have not because you ask not, and because of that you ask in the midst. Now watch it. Or ask in lust and so forth. He said in verse 6, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Now there's the thing, another thing. Here's another thing he said, when he sees he gives answer a prayer for someone that leads to pride. He's not going to do that. He hates pride. And what he said in 4, here in James, as he's trying to help his people, as pastor of his church, he said, God resist the proud and give it grace unto the humble. So when God can see that anything we get will also keep us humble, then he knows he's going to get the glory for it. But if it brings pride, then he knows that that's going to lead in a different way. And so when we talk about prayer, we talk about prayer kind of where we get it from. And sometimes people go through life claiming things. And they may have a few things in life they get, but if you look at what the things you claim that you don't get, you wonder if God really answers prayer sometimes when we ask him. But then there's times when God shows us he answers the prayers. And when he does, it's a sweet time. It's just unbelievable. So we pray about the doctrines and things. In Matthew 7, 8, 8, and he said, ask, seek, and knock. And then we see in John 14 and John 6, let's close this out. John 14 and John 6, he tells us God will lead us by his Holy Spirit. Now that's the key to understanding. When I approach about prayer, verses I look at and get them in line of what God has said all around a statement, and then begin to see that God is bringing forth what prayer really is, that's when you know you trust him. You take people who say, well, if he says I get what I desire and I ask God to give me something I desire and don't get it, first thing Satan says, well, you see, it's all fake anyhow. And more than likely, we get people who think God answers all their prayers just like they ask, that he is a fake. Because he'd be honest with us, a lot of things we asked at times that God didn't answer just the way we asked. And most of the time we feel if he don't answer it like we asked him to answer, he don't answer it at all. When he may answer and we miss the whole answer. So ladies and gentlemen, this thing with God is a wonderful thing. It's a faith. You walk by faith, not by sight. You mean to tell me if I get down and begin to pray about something and suddenly God didn't do it, all of a sudden God didn't love me or didn't answer that prayer, that would cause me not to serve God? No, because if I did, it'd be by sight, not by faith. It'd be because God didn't give me something to see, therefore I wouldn't do it. But it doesn't matter if he doesn't. He's still God. He's still Savior. He's still the one to serve. He's still the one to go with. It doesn't matter where he does or does not. And yet when he does, we're thankful and give him praise. If he does not at that time, he's got something better. Always. Many of you have heard me tell you and talking to you from time that I've always said, God has something better for you. Now the thing about that, Joe Osteen used that so much, it gets routine. I mean, he said, everybody, God has something better for you. Let me tell you, the only way God has something better for most people in this world not saved is to get them saved. That what's good in this world is not enough. The wealthiest man in this world, die and go to hell, didn't have too much. So you see, when you look back, throwing words out seems like a big field. But if you listen and narrow down and try to concentrate on what's been said, even from a scripture standpoint, you'll see God has some things he tells us to do. If we'll do it right, you'd be sure he's there. I believe with all my heart. God may say yes, he may say no, he may say wait a while. That's what patience is. That's what patience is. Let me ask you something, folks. There's probably not one of us in here who hadn't been through some serious operations. I mean some serious operation. And during that operation, a lot of prayer was made. But it won't like when the cripple went down to the temple and Peter and John walked in there and they prayed for him. He got up and leaped around. In the temple, our healing didn't happen like that. But we prayed and trust God. And what? God worketh patience. We're going to see how he does that in the next one. Worketh patience in us. And that patience lets us learn to submit. And when that submitting comes, God got us over it. You know why? Listen, I'm not off the wall here now. Listen to me. Did you know that God has given us miracles already to help these bodies before we even pray? That's what medicine is. That's what technology, that's what hospitals are, that's what doctors and so forth learn. God has given the ability to do. Think about what can be done to this body that 100 years ago you didn't think about it. If you did, that's all you did is think about it. They're talking about now, you know, even someday in the future, having parts of body that you can grow that don't work. Someone even said one day, one day, if you didn't think you could have a heart transplant, would I open a person up? I know this, I never thought you could take a gallbladder out and not open one up. Make two or three little holes. I asked a doctor once, I said, Doc, I'll see how big as your hands. You can get in there and do that to a person. And he brought a picture back, let me show you. He brought me back, brought a picture back and showed me the stomach, and it blowed up bigger than you could. I could have got my little toy trucks in there and played before. I didn't know it did that. I mean, it growed. I mean, it amazes what happened to that. And then he said that I said, well, what is all that? He said, we blow it up and gas and all in there. And he said, that's the reason people have a lot of abdominal trouble later, because you don't get all that gas and stuff out there. What they put in there don't get out. So John 14, 16 tells us that Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit should come, he's going to teach you all things. Now, folks, listen. This is what gets me. And I hear a time someone tells someone that pray for something. They say, well, the reason you don't get an answer, you don't have enough faith. I want to help you here. I'm not calling names. I'm just saying, listen. If a person tell me that when I pray, I don't have enough faith, they don't know what. Listen, I don't think I need to show my faith. I think my faith's been proven. When they say you don't have enough faith, I'm glad God helps us understand it's faith in this book and faith in God to know that he's always in control. They'll tell you he's not. They'll tell you he's not in control. And anything they say that's equal or that is tragedy or hurtful is not God in control. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, Satan can't do a thing without permission from God. To say he's not in control, that says someone has more power than God has. And if they have, we better watch out, because if they have, they may throw him off the throne one day. Satan's the only one who ever tried that, and he hadn't succeeded so far. And we already have a record of him. He's not going to succeed at all. So God is in control. Listen, I'm not saying he caused it, but I'm saying anything happens, got to be permissive it, because he can stop it anytime. And he's going to do that one day. And if God allows his child to go through something because we're born in a world of sin, we know he's there. He's a helper. He's a comforter. He helps us understand and have peace that passes understanding and gives us a tremendous insight about what he's doing. And so he tells us to pray. Have you prayed about it? Pray earnestly. Pray biblically. And ask God that you want to understand this truth. Not to have blow up, to have knowledge and make someone think that you're such a smart person, that you just want to have it for yourself, and if no one else ever would believe it, that it would be something that I want to learn, that I can be. I believe this would help me be what I need to be, Lord, in your sight, to help me not be maybe like someone else who said they believed something and went a different way. Then the fourth one I want you to look with me, and we'll look at it next week. Do you have the Holy Spirit leadership? Do you have guidance of the Holy Spirit about what you're studying, that questionable thing? Look with me in Romans 8. Now, the reason I want to read this is it shows you how the Holy Spirit helps us. Look with me in Romans chapter 8, down about verse 14. Romans 8 and verse 14. The Bible says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, and we'll pick this up next week, they are the sons of God, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, we've been born into the family of God, and God says he has given us his spirit, and we receive that spirit. And what he says here by adoption, that means that we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord to mature, but we are received by adoption into the family for inheritance. And so that means simply God is clear on both sides. He means that by being born into the family of God, I have the certificate that I'm a child of God. And because of that, I can grow in grace and knowledge toward maturity, not perfection. You don't grow into perfection. You either have it or you don't have it. To receive Jesus Christ has perfection, but that don't mean that we practice perfections. We try our best to mortify the deeds of the flesh, and that's what Paul tells us to do. And we try our best to put those things to death so others can see what happens because of the new life in us. But on the other hand, we grow into maturity. We who have that life that God gives us, which is his life, divine life, in this body, it's not seen until it begins to reveal itself out through this body in maturity. We ought to be more mature in Christ now than we were 20 years ago, so people could see more about God in us than maybe they could when we were babes in Christ. I believe it all in my heart. Somebody said, well, you don't believe in the perfection. I believe that the new creation is an absolute perfect creation that you and I have. Because it is Christ himself who gave us the birth, and it's God's life, which Christ had, that we have. And it's the Holy Spirit he gives us to put the seal down. We got that life. And when you and I find ourselves having the Holy Spirit in us, then it is working. I wish I could get there now, because we're going to find, and you look at this, God is working that life out of us so the world can see it. It ain't something we get externally to work in. It's something we get internally to work out. He tells the church at Thessalonica, or maybe in Timothy, we'll get there in my mind. See, I'm a little bit ahead of you, and I get it. I get something that's ahead. Well, you know how it is. You know how it is. So as we go back again, look with me, if we will, in verse 26 and 27, and then I'm going to close on this. I'm showing we have the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God that cries, Abba, Father. That means Daddy. I mean, it's amazing that God, who is such a great God, in Christ Jesus, has come to the place that He is called our Father, our Heavenly Father. But watch what Spirit does to help us. Now look in verse 26 and 27. I'm closing, believe me. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Oh, boy, that put a capstone on what I just said a few minutes ago. We pray for everything we want, and God said, hey, really, you don't know what to pray for as you ought. And that's the reason I gave it to the Holy Spirit. Watch. Whew, boy, I would to God I could get this like I see it and feel it. You know what it is? I believe it's like God trying to use words to tell us about Himself. And He breaks it down as much as He can, but because it is words, we miss some of it. And that's what I see. I try to look at this, and I see something I've studied, and I try to break it down. I feel like I can't get it broke down enough where you can really understand it. I'm sure it don't bother God because we're that way, but it bothers me because sometimes I feel that way about people I'm teaching because it seems like they don't quite get it. But He says, likewise, the Spirit of the helpers our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groaning which cannot be uttered. Watch this. And he that searches the hearts, in plural, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints. Watch this last phrase. According to the will of God. Amen. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if I've studied in prayer, and all that I've studied, and I hadn't seen that as yet, when I read that, that would be the capstone for me to look at all this with, because everything that I desire should be according to the will of God. Amen. Not my will, but the will of God. And that means simply this. Lord, if you give me this, whatever it is, I want to let it be that it can be used for your glory. And he can see where I'm lying or not. Amen. He can see where I'm lying or not. Lord, if you bless me. And God, by the way, God has promised to bless his people. And he doesn't lie. He doesn't lie. I mean, everyone here has been blessed more than many of our forefathers were for our time. I tell you, I like to go to a bathroom where it's warm, not outside where it's cold. I've been there. I mean, I'm telling you. And you know what I'm talking about. We're blessed in our country, but sometimes, did you know, ladies and gentlemen, please hear it. I don't mean this in a negative way, but sometimes you find that people in the older days love God seemingly more than people in our day. And we have more blessings than they have. So God's been good to us. Father in heaven, Lord, please help us break this down. It's beyond our mind. We need to learn how to break it down so we can understand it. And Lord, verse after verse after verse keeps adding. That's when you say growing grace and knowledge of the Lord. Verse after verse adds to what we're doing. And we get our mind in the right relationship with you and our heart right with you. Then the Holy Spirit will help us understand things. And Lord, when we're serving you, sometimes we can just ask for something because of service. Lord, we've seen times that we've asked for things that had to do for blessing materialistically. And within a period of time of praying, God give it to us. And then there's other times we asked and didn't get it. It doesn't mean you love us any less. God, you don't. Your love is standard. It's absolute. There's no less. There is no more because of your standard. And Father, it's amazing how the world can't see how you can love them, send them to hell. You love them and prove that at Calvary. Our message is to get it to them. Please help us do that. And know enough about the Scriptures that the Scripture can come to criteria to bring to conviction and not just words we say or opinions. Give us understanding, Father. tonight. Bless your people who come here this week. And as we talk about prayer, I thought we'd get further than that. Talked about prayer. Lord, I just hit the outer edges of it. But we looked at when to pray and what we asked for, how to ask for it. We looked at the reason to be sure to no miss. There should be no personal thing in it except for the glory of God. And Lord, that's the reason why when we take an offering here, we come that moment back and thank you and come to the throne of grace and worship you with it. So you will get the glory for everything we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.